Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
As we start, I want to share some things with you this morning. First of all, Lucy's on her way to the hospital with chest pains and should be at the ER by now. Caleb's sick. We need a little bit of prayer that way. But Barney called me last night, and he's very broken. And he asked me if I would share with the congregation because he said he would not be able to share. Prognosis is not good in the natural. If Patsy was younger, they would put her on the transplant list and give her a new heart. But they can't do that. They can't put her on the transplant list due to lots of things and age. But I know a man who created our hearts, and I believe that the man who created our hearts, the God who created our heart, can either recreate the heart or he can mend the broken heart. At least that's what we believe, and we claim to believe, and we believe in healing. The doctors are working on coming up with some kind of a plan. They've done some heart catheterizations. They wound up transferring her from LaGrange to Hyde Park to the University Hospital for additional care. She's been in ICU, and I did get to visit with her the other night. She cried, and we prayed and talked about, just so you know, I talked to her about Hezekiah and how he went before the Lord, and I said, Patsy, if there's one thing I know about you, you've been faithful to God for years, and we can cry out to God, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to even spend some time tomorrow night in prayer, but please pray for Patsy. I know that you will. I know that you will stand for a miracle. We've seen it, and by the way, the enemy, I'm not going to give him any credit, but I can clearly see what he does. Mom was just in the hospital for heart. Lucy's on her way to the hospital with heart. Patsy's in the hospital with heart. Hello. We're no dummies. We get this. But our God, my heart, your heart, Patsy's heart, Mom's heart, Lucy's heart belongs to Jesus. Plain, simple truth. Amen. So we are going to pray, and I would ask you to pray for Barney and the kids, because here's why. They need to see this miracle. God is a redeemer. He is a redeemer. And we're not believing that Patsy's just healed. We're believing she's made completely whole in every area of her life. So we're going to pray, and Pastor Ken's going to lead us in prayer right now, because I promised Barney that we would do that. He's going to lead us in prayer. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray specifically for Patsy and Lucy and their hearts.
Heavenly Father, we come together to you as a single body, as the body of Christ, in obedience to your word, where you told us to pray one for another. You wouldn't have told us to pray for one another if there wasn't power in prayer. Lord, we recognize your very first name is Healer. You are our healer. You are our healer in the past, in the present, and in the future. Lord, we lift up our sisters, Lucy, and we lift up Patsy, and we also want to lift up the entire families of both Lucy and Patsy. And we want to call out Barney's name and Father, the children, Father, we ask that you would open, you would give them peace in this situation, open their eyes. But Father, we pray for healing of the heart, Father God. And we don't care what the doctor has said, because he doesn't have the final word. Father, you said, the great physician said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. You said, this word says, created me a new heart. Father God, I thank you. You give us new spiritual hearts. You give us new physical hearts. Father, we ask that you would reach down and perform your spiritual surgery, Father God. You knit us together in our mother's womb, Father God. You created every part of our body. You have the master blueprint. And we ask that now you would repair, you would rebuild, that the Holy Spirit would be in those rooms, Father God, that the presence of God, that hope itself would show up, Father God, and just a spirit of heaviness would lift for a spirit of joy and a spirit of hope. We hold up these families in the name of Jesus. We stand with them, and we ask for your best, your blessing, loose it in their life. We bind Satan, and we loose the blessings of God in the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus. Amen.
God is faithful. He is faithful. Interesting, I have a little bit of an interesting input here. I always go home and start working on next Sunday's message on Sunday. Anybody who knows me knows that I am immediately at my desk at home working on next Sunday and Monday. And I had this message before we ever knew what would happen during this week regarding our sister, Patsy. The title of it is There Is Always Hope. But I kind of want to retitle that too, because hope is not something oblivious that we just can't quite put our finger on. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. So when you say there's always hope, let's say there's always Jesus. There's always Jesus. And there are so many situations in this life that would cause us to think that we are hopeless, or at least feel hopeless, but we don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. So even if you feel hopeless, you are still not hopeless, because there is always hope. There is always Jesus. He is our hope. And there is no situation that is hopeless when we have Jesus. But we are hopeful. We are full of hope when we are full of Jesus, when we are full of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of trauma in this life, isn't there? There's a lot of drama. You do not know when you pick up that phone, sweetheart, what you are going to hear, what that person on the other end is going to hear, is going to say to you, and you're going to have to hear. I kept thinking about that. Me and Dave and Grace were in the car last night coming from a great time when Barney called, just so broken. You know, we don't know what we're going to hear, but there's always Jesus. And, you know, I wound up at the hospital the other night sharing with actually two people. I had two people in the same hospital, Patsy and Susan. And I told them both about the story of Hezekiah, the prophet of God. And the prophet clearly told him, he had a word. He had a word, all right. And you want a word? I got a word for you this morning. You're going to die. That's kind of a word to all of us, isn't it? I'm not kidding there. But when Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall and he cried out to God and he said, haven't I been faithful? And you know what? I like that part. I'm not saying God, you can earn anything from God, but I am saying that faithfulness counts in the kingdom of God, and that God honors the faithful, and he's a good paymaster, and he will repay faithfulness with faithfulness to you. And so I also remembered another time when in 1998, on September 23rd, I know where I was. I was in a hospital room with my father when they started wheeling him out, and he had a second massive stroke as they had him right pulled out in the hallway. And I went, sent me out, and the doctors, they filled the room, and I went to the wall, which was right out the door, and I just started banging on the wall and crying out to God. You know why? Because I don't have anybody else to cry for. Listen, the doctors were already in there. It's no good to cry out to them. They're doing what they can. I cried out to God. And you know what? It didn't turn out like I wanted. I felt hopeless, but I very quickly found out about a faithful God, and that I still had hope, even in death. So we can cry out to God. I'm going to turn this to Pastor Kendi. He's got some great thoughts. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you believe, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You may have more and more hope. Romans 4:18, anybody know who I'm talking about here? Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, Abraham, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. When there appeared to be no hope, in fact, when there was no hope, because there was no hope for Abraham in the natural, he believed and there was hope.
So biblical hope is always a certainty. It's just a future certainty. Faith is now, hope is tomorrow. But just like if I said we hope the sun comes up, it's a certainty. You're not really hoping the sun comes up. You know it's coming up. So our hope of heaven is not like, oh, I hope I go to heaven. It's just in the future because it's hope. It's in the future. I think that that scripture that is that we read about Abraham, that who against hope still believed in hope. Have you ever been to that place where you think there's no hope? Abraham was certain. Now, look, be honest. Do you believe that if you were in your was he in his 80s or 90s when he had Isaac? Do you remember? 99. Okay, do you think that how much faith would you have if someone 99 said, hey, would you pray and agree with me for pregnancy? But the difference is they had a word from God. God said, I'm going to do this. This wasn't them writing checks. This was God writing the check. So it's not your words that come to pass. It's God's words in your mouth that comes to pass. What causes doubt? I think that doubt is caused by a small God and big problems. Think about it a minute. You got a small God, big problems. That equals doubt. Yeah, obviously, switch it, obviously. You know, it's Goliath. Who was the giant on the battleground? It was God, not Goliath. You just have to see the perspective. It was God that was, okay, so let's give some real-world examples here. Let's test your faith. Let's take a time machine and put you at Lazarus' grave. You know Lazarus. You were there at the funeral. You know it's been 3 days. How's your faith level when Jesus comes and says, Lazarus, come forth? Well, if your faith level is low, that means you don't know Jesus, right? No one else would have believed in that. Let's look at Jairus' daughter, who's dead. The family knows she's dead. She's in there not breathing. She's dead, D-E-A-D. Here comes Jesus. Nah, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Jesus, she's dead. Okay, how about this? You've been fishing all night and you're a professional fisherman. That's what you do for a living. You've been fishing for 20 years and you caught nothing. And now you're back at the dock. You don't catch fish at the dock. If you caught fish at the dock, you wouldn't need a boat. So you're back at the dock and here comes the carpenter. And he says, I got an idea, guys. Why don't we try fishing from the dock? Just throw the nets out over the dock. Like, Jesus, when we need a table built, we'll call the carpenter. You know, you have to understand, I was fisherman of the year for 2 years. I'm Peter. I know something about fishing. But in our life, how applicable is this? You say, oh, those are interesting examples. But you have examples in your own life every day. The doctor says something and you go, well, the doctor said there's no hope. So who's bigger? Do you have a big God or a big doctor? Whose medical opinion is greater, Dr. Jesus or your doctor who spends his nights playing Xbox? You know, he's 28 years old telling you there's no hope. Jesus created everything in the universe. There's nothing wrong with Xbox, but it doesn't make you a good heart surgeon. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah then. This is the story of Hezekiah, which I kind of laughed at Pam yesterday because we were talking about the message. And, you know, she was telling me, she was going over the message with me, and she said, Kenny had his face to the wall. And he turned his face to the wall, and she said, and he had his back to the wall. I go, hold on a second. I said, he had his back to the wall and he had his face to the wall. And she said, yeah, he was between a rock and a hard place. So I thought that was funny, and it's kind of true, because when you don't have hope, you feel like your back's, you have no escape. So it says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. So this was pretty serious. Isaiah the prophet. Boy, if you're going to have someone come to pray for you, you can't beat Isaiah coming into your room. You would think that until he comes in the room and says, you're going to die, and go, is there someone else? I need a new pastor. So Isaiah, the pastor Isaiah And I like that, you know, Brother Hagin was talking about being 14 years old with an incurable heart disease. Every doctor had told him that there was no hope. And then his pastor came in. Thank God for pastors. And the pastor said, "It'll all be over soon." What? It'll all be over soon? What does that mean? So it's like, is there another pastor in the building that I could talk to? And what Brother Hagin said was this to himself as a 14-year-old kid. He said, "All these pastors are saying that miracles have passed away." He said, "But I read in the Bible where her faith made her whole." And he said to himself, I think he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And he said to himself, he said, "They all say miracles have passed away, but nobody has ever told me faith has passed away. And if her faith made her whole," that's what he did as a 14-year-old, "then my faith will make me whole." You know what? When he made that declaration at 14, he didn't feel healed. He had a revelation at 14 that how you feel has nothing to do with what is true. The Pastor Isaiah comes in, Prophet Isaiah comes in and gives him this terrible news, which, by the way, it's not just news. It was news he got from God. Basically, God told him to set his house in order, that he is going to die. So that is incredibly bad news. I'm going to turn this back to Pam because I got some more. But I'm just trying to put myself in that situation where you even think that God is against you. You even think, and maybe he was. You realize that when we're not living for God, when we're living in sin, the curses are on us. You can't really get mercy when we're not asking for mercy and not asking for forgiveness. God's warning, just like if we preach a message on hell, if we preach a message that if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to go to heaven. I've heard some of those messages. That never means that that's the final word. Whenever God rebukes anybody, it's always with an offer of repentance. And here's Hezekiah's life was not right, and God gave him that strong warning, not so he would die. Why give him a warning if God was just going to kill him? He gave them the warning so he could do what he did. He could turn his face to the wall and see nothing but God. Let me tell you, when there's no hope, you just need to turn your face and the only thing you can see is God.
You know, that story is a powerful, powerful story. Because in the natural, he was definitely going to die. There's no doubt about it. The prophet said the right thing. He was very ill. He had a gangrenous, what they think, infected boil that was gangrenous, and he was definitely going to die. And that was actually a test for him, like Ken said, an opportunity. But I think that the coolest thing is that it had to happen like it happened. God could have, A, just stepped in and healed him. He could have gone home, whatever the case may be. But it is to prove to you and I, when the prophet went back and said some very interesting words that you and I might need to hear. The Lord says, "I have heard your prayers, and you're going to be getting 15 extra years." Again, like Pastor Ken said, he could have just done that, given him 15 years, but that's not what happened. He sent a man of God to tell him, you know, if I went to Vic and said, "Let me tell you something, this is going to happen, because the Lord's heard your prayers," that's different. It's not just happenstance. So it is a very powerful story of God turning things around, and we can do the same thing. Those stories are not in the Bible, those accounts, so that we can just read them and go, "Cool for Hezekiah, wow, go God." No, it's for you and I to take a lesson and do the same thing. There is always hope, because God is a God of hope, and his name is hope too. He is the healer. It's all in his name. But something that really hit me, it's the hard times we go through can tempt us to not, when the doctor says something like cancer, heart disease, uses words like terminal, uses words like diabetes, no cure, things like that, we don't have any more options, you can be tempted to say, okay, well, this is the kind of disease that doesn't likely get healed. I say that's a great opportunity. The greater the disease, the greater the opportunity to see how big God is. And, you know, I love the song, He's a Waymaker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. And I also love all the words about God, that He can recreate, that He can restore, that He can renew. But my favorite of all is resurrection. Resurrection. He'll bring the marriage back to life. He'll bring your child back to life again and restore. I saw a testimony this week of a man who was a meth addict, a heroin addict, and was dying on the streets. And I remember hearing from a doctor at Glen Oaks, I heard myself with my own ears when my daughter was there at Glen Oaks say, thank goodness she never put a needle in her vein, because once you put a needle in your vein, the needle never comes out. This man, the needle is out, and he is glorifying God because he is a resurrector. That's resurrection power, if that same spirit dwells in me. But it gives you, and I hope, for a lot of situations in your personal life, doesn't it? That you can take that to heart. I love something about God that is found in 1 Chronicles 14:11, because to me, I continually am reminded of my brother-in-law that we always talked about him and I, God of the breakthrough, God of the breakthrough. He's going to break through for you, or you can break through for him. Listen to this, 1 Chronicles 14:11. And he went up to Baal-perazim. That sounds like an idol to me, but let me just tell you that Baal just means God. That's all it means. Baal-perazim, and David struck them down there, his enemies, and David said, God has broken through my enemies, my situation, by my hand. He's used me like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of the place is called Baal-perazim, which means God of the bursting through, God of the breakthrough. I love that. There is always hope. God will break through in your situation, no matter what it is. Think of blind Bartimaeus and think of his faith. And I guarantee you, he was just about without hope. When you're there that long, like the man at the pool, you're just, come on, aren't you tempted to say, this just isn't going to happen? And a lot of people will tell me this, well, it won't happen in this lifetime, but it'll happen over there. And I'm like, there's a scripture that addresses that said, I shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I can see it right now. I can have a miracle right now. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to be healed. I could receive my healing today, because the Bible says he's a way maker. When there's no way, he'll create a way. He says, I'll make a way of escape for temptation. He says, I made a way through the Red Sea, through the wild, mighty waters. He made a way. He carved out a path when there was no path. I think it's so cool. And I love that but here's the thing. We need to have faith that he is our hope, that there is a confident, the definition of Bible faith is this, confident expectation. You're expecting it. You have a confidence that it's going to happen. But one of my stories I love that Pastor Ken is kind of one of his favorites is the woman with the issue of blood and just crawling. So here's the deal. You go to Jesus, go on your knees, walk, run, crawl if you have to. And you hang on to Jesus. You grab hold of Jesus. You don't just go to Jesus. You take hold of Jesus. Take hold of the hem of his garment and don't let go till that anointing flows through your body and you are 100% healed. I believe in hope even when there is no hope.
I believe in freedom of religion. You know, there's some times people will say, well, why don't we make Christianity a forced religion where everyone has to be a Christian and everyone has to have a Bible? It will never work that way. Christianity has to be accepted in the heart. It is a choice that we make, and it can't be a forced choice. When we deal with God, it can't be out of repetition. It can't be out of religion. It can't be, I came to church for years and I kneel and I stand and I sing. All of that is just religion. Even what we're going to do today is holy. We're going to take communion, the most expensive medicine in the world, which literally represents the blood of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus, the body of Jesus. It represents salvation. It represents healing. It represents heaven. It represents the future. It represents our covenant. It's holy, but it's possible to just drink some grape juice, right? So when Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, he was so genuine with God. Those were real tears coming down his face. God knows the difference between being genuine and not being genuine. There's no sense in trying to fool God. There's no sense in trying to fool God about how much we love him, how passionate we are. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. And he saw a desperate cry for help from Hezekiah. Now, Isaiah had already given him the prophecy, you're going to die. But when God saw the repentance, he stopped Isaiah in his tracks and said, I got a new word. Yeah, what's that? Go tell him the opposite. Tell him he's going to live now another 15 years. It kind of reminds me of Jonah. Go tell those people they're going to be judged. He's like, oh, come on. I like telling them they're going to be judged. What I don't like is you forgiving them. So, you know, he's giving the message, hey, everybody, you probably should repent because you're going to be killed. And if you want to, I don't care. It's up to you. I can't imagine there was passion in his preaching is what I'm saying, because he didn't love those people. But it didn't matter. God loved those people. And remember that there may be people that you think that they don't belong in heaven. I've heard of murderers that were famous murderers that spent the last 20 years of their life serving God. You go, that's just a fake conversion. You don't know that. Do you think that God can change murderers? You say, I'm not really sure. Pastor Ken, I don't think God can change murderers' hearts. Well, then you're not going to heaven. Right? Every time that we want revenge on someone, wish they were dead, you ever say, I wish someone could go to hell? That's just ignorance, not knowing what we're saying. You don't wish anyone would go to hell. No. You really don't. And you might get mad in heaven when you see people that you think that maybe they shouldn't be there, but that's what mercy is. Anyway, this is just amazing that God sees our tears. He sees our heart. Our prayers never go unheard. God listens. He knows every syllable. He even knows your voice. Just like you call someone, you say, it's me. That you know who it is. God knows who you are. God didn't just heal Hezekiah from a physical disease, but he made him whole. He gave him back that relationship with God. He gave them back that joy of serving God. He gave him back that hope. And this is kind of funny. He says, he asked for a sign. You know, Hezekiah, you're pushing it. You know, when the prophet says you're going to get 15 more years, and he's like, prove it. You know, I'd say, hey, buddy, you're pushing it. But so what kind of sign do you want? He says, well, you know, you could make the sun go back 15 degrees, or you could change it so the sun moves forward or the sun moves backwards. And Hezekiah says, you know, let it be sunny again. Let's go with some daylight savings times here. The difference is when God does daylight saving time, he moves the sun. We move our clocks. God's like, I'll just move the whole sun. So incidentally, I want to say this. I'm going to take a small bunny trail. I want to say something about science. And please don't be repeating this. And if you ever have repeated it, stop. So there's these memes going around that NASA recently discovered Joshua's lost day. That is not true. There is nothing true about that. And when Christians or Hezekiah's 15 degrees, if they say NASA discovered that, that is a complete 100% lie. It is, and Christians spread this all the time. Let me tell you, you don't have to help God. You don't have to help God. Think about this for a minute. You can't, because if you said to a scientist, what if you change the rotation of the earth for just a few minutes so you push the sun back up? I can answer that. Everybody on earth dies. Everybody dies, right? You can't stop the rotation of the earth. And then everything on earth would just be dead. God, so it's impossible. So are you saying it's impossible? Yes, I'm saying it's impossible. Just like the doctor says, there is no hope. Just like the doctor said, there is nothing we can do. You know what that is? That's good news. Because when man says there's no hope, turn to God. You cannot walk on water. It is physically impossible unless you write the laws of physics. You cannot roll back the sun unless you're in charge of the laws of nature, because there is no such thing as the laws of nature. They are the laws of God, and God will do what he wants. You and I have no business of saying something is impossible. You and I have no business of saying someone could not be saved, that they will never be saved, that their heart will never turn. Hezekiah's heart turned. There's lots of murderers who their heart turned. Your heart turned to God. And I know there's at least five people that know you that would say, I can't believe that. I can't believe they're a Christian. Right? I mean, people say that about Pam all the time. I'm just kidding. But she does say that. It is kind of funny that people say that.
Yeah, that's a good thing for people to be shocked when they see a change in your life. When they meet you after 20 years and go, wow, never thought you would be doing what you're doing. You know, I want to address what happens when people run out of hope. You can lose a lot of things in life and be okay. Really, you can. There's some things you can lose and be okay. But if you lose hope, you've just about lost everything. I've shared this on a Monday night before, but I'm going to share it again. I was studying on a message I did some years ago on hope and began to study death row inmates and people that had lost their last appeals and things. And here's what part of the article said, that when they finally realize that they are without hope, they quit receiving family visitors. They no longer care if their family comes or not. They know they're a lost cause and there's no hope left. They often quit eating. They often will quit bathing. They will even be given to soiling themselves because they have lost all hope. It is a terrible thing to feel like you're without hope. At that point, the only thing that really will save them is Jesus. And we can be tempted if our situation, if enough pressure gets on us and the situation's just right, you get the right bad news, you can begin to feel, at least be tempted by the devil, that you don't have any more hope left. I'm telling you that's a lie. But it's one of the tools he uses. Make sure they don't have hope. They'll quit coming to church. They'll quit praying when they realize there's no use anymore. They're without hope. Let me tell you what blind Bartimaeus did have. He had hope. He had faith in God. When Jesus came, he cried out. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He heard Jesus. The faith was built in him. He had hope arose in his spirit, and he cried. Now, you notice he didn't say, call for the doctor. He didn't cry out for the doctor. Do you know why? That was over with. He had already cried out. The doctor already did all he can do. He said, you're going to be blind the rest of your life. So forget calling the doctor. He also didn't say, could you go to my closet, someone? Get my golden Buddha and bring him to me. You never hear that, do you? Go bring my idols to me because those are dead false gods. My hope, there's an old song. Some of you know, Frida, you might know this because we're older. Some of us. Tony knows it. Ken, you too will know this. Yes, you will, Mr. 60 plus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. There is always hope in the Lord. We need to resurrect that song, somebody. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I totally lean in Jesus' name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope. I don't have anything. Now, I went to two hospitals this week. Like I said, one with two people and another one. And I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I'm not a doctor. Come on, guys. You know, how do you think I look? I think you look great laying there in your hospital gown. Good as you can in the hospital. Let me tell you something. I don't have any nails in my hand. I don't have any stripes on my back. Why would I go? Because I have hope. I'm a bearer of good news. I have hope. I can give you hope. I can tell you while you're laying there the stories of the Bible that maybe you don't want to hear while you're sitting here. Maybe you don't even want to come on Sunday morning and hear because you're bored. You got other things to do. But I guarantee you, when I meet you, everybody I meet in the hospital bed, they're like, come a little closer. can you come over here? Can you hold my hand? Can you? And then I have the floor. I can tell them about hope in Jesus. And guess what? It works. It works. We've seen so many miracles. We ourselves have experienced miracles. I trust in God. I trust Him for everything, for every little thing. But my hope is only in the Lord. Without the Lord, I have no hope. And I think that's where people are. And I keep thinking about salvation and people that are living their life and they feel like they're so down and into addictions and things and their life is so hopeless. But I had such a cool word. Talk about a bunny trail here. I had such a cool word this morning from God because I always ask Him for something for the new year. Give me just such a word. Give me a word. And this is the word that just dropped in my spirit. I want you to be cognizant and aware of ministering salvation to everyone you meet in some shape or form, always honoring the Holy Spirit, every single service. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. But I want you to bring some people to heaven who they're not expecting to be there. Bring some this is what the Holy Spirit put in my, bring some unexpected guests with you. Some people that even heaven, even the angels are like, they ain't gonna make it. They ain't gonna make it. And you bring them into heaven with you, unexpected guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm gonna tell God, you're gonna have to get some more name tags out because I'm bringing some guests with me.
What we would consider the worst people in the world, they still want the same things that you want. They want acceptance. They want love. They want to know that their life matters. And many of the decisions that brought them to where they were is because they came to the conclusion no one loved them, no one cared, so what does it matter? They lost their own value. I heard of a mother that she was addicted to drugs, and someone had said, well, aren't you worried about your child being around drugs or getting injected with drugs? And the mother's like, oh, no, I guard my baby. And she said, but well, you don't guard yourself. And she said, well, my baby has value, but I don't have any. I don't have any. So she was willing to do that to herself because she didn't see herself as having any value. Hope is such a great word. We are not like those without hope, the Bible says. We are not like those without hope. I was telling Pam, hope doesn't run out until your heart stops. You, even then, if you've built your built on the rock, you just transition on over. But even the worst person on earth, they're really no different than you. Do you think if instead of Adam, men of the church, that you had been the first Adam, that we'd still be living in the garden?
No.
Come on.
No.
You think? Any women here think that if they had been Eve, that we'd still be in the garden? I don't think so. So everyone wants to talk to Eve and go, you know, Eve, thanks a lot.
Nope.
But it turns out that as human beings, we all go through life kind of the same. I'm just saying, hey, let's have mercy on someone that's not as blessed as you are, even if they're in prison. And you should say, there but for the grace of God, go I. I will say this, and I kind of said last week it was a prophecy, but I don't mean it as super spiritual prophecy, but I do believe that this is possible from God. That things in your life that you thought were over with, that you would never do again because of your age or your situation, that God can roll back the years. He can roll back the time. He can roll back even your body so that things that you said, I would never do this again, that you'll be able to do that again. And let me kind of back that up a little bit with the Word of God. And this is a great scripture. It says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, and the word quicken means to make alive. Just like when God breathed into man the breath of life. When God breathed into Adam, I like thinking of this, because he formed Adam out of clay, right? He's just taking his fingers and shaping his face, and, you know, he's doing God things. I don't know how he does it. But he takes his dirt that's worth about $1.50, right? Just chemicals and minerals, and he just combines it. And then you have this thing called Adam that has no life in it. It's just this dead clay thing. And you go, what do you think? This thing is alive? You go, no, it's just a clay figure. And then God breathed into man the breath of life. Can you imagine that first breath? And we're still breathing. That first breath still got passed on to you, right? Because you're a descendant of Adam and Eve. God breathed into man. And God breathes into us new life. The wind of the Holy Spirit is God breathing into us. That's why it's a rushing wind. It's the breath of God that goes in and it breathes new life. There's living water. There's living air. I'm going to close up here. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he said the saddest words, "I have no man to help." That's where hopelessness comes in. There's no one to turn to. There's no family members that have money for this. There's no programs that'll pay for this operation. I have no man to help. He was helpless. He was hopeless. And then a carpenter started talking to him. It wasn't a man. It was the creator of heaven and earth. Come on. That gets me excited. That gets me excited. And one more from Pam's Monday night, which I love this story too. There's this paralyzed man, and but Jesus is the healer, but you might as well try to get tickets to Taylor Swift. Just no one's getting in to see Jesus. This house is packed, right? You're not going to bring, you got these four friends carrying this, carrying him on a bed. They're not making a hole. They tried, believe me. The roof is not the first choice to get into a house, right? That wasn't plan A. Let's go in through the roof. Everybody needs four crazy friends that are willing to stand with you in faith and do something amazing and agree with you. And you know there's a video library in heaven. You can watch the Red Sea being open. You can watch David and Goliath. And someday I want to watch from the standpoint of in the house, right, when all of a sudden they see tiles flying off and then they're lowering this guy. Come on, that's when there is no hope. That's God making a door where there was no door. There was no door in the roof. They made a door. You know, Hezekiah has his back to the wall. He's got his front to the wall, apparently. He had everything to the wall. And God made a path through that.
It's true. I said on Monday night, I have many, many questions about that story. Because my first question is, if I was the four friends and the guy, I'm going to push through the crowd. Hey, excuse me, make way. We got sick man coming through. I want to know how they wound up on the roof. I want to know how they got up there. What kind of ladder do you use for all of you to get up on the roof? Why was that the plan? But I think God's ways are higher than ours, and it's so cool. I'm going to read a verse, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering. Don't let your faith waver, go back and forth, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. They are amazing, the promises of God. And when we're talking about God can make situations right, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, because a lot of us need restoring. We went wrong ways. We need new things recreated. We need things made right that are wrong. The Bible says he will restore the years. Maybe you spent some years doing things you shouldn't do, living a life that you were never created to live, that was not the plan of God. And you're sad about that. I believe that Paul was sad about his life, so much so that the messenger of Satan would torment him about who you used to be. But you don't have to let that happen. You can say, that ain't who I used to be. And I am trusting God to restore all those years that the enemy thought he had stripped away from me and taken. He thought he took away my family. He thought he took away my marriage. He thought he took away my friends. He didn't. In Jesus' name, let's stand. Alan's going to come and we're going to receive communion this morning and believe for healing for our bodies. We're going to believe for restoration of our body, soul, and spirit. And we will never quit trusting in Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's worship.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.